the resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Your resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. Your resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. Your resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Happy Resurrection Day. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. What a day to celebrate our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. It is the first Sunday of the month, so everybody can be seated except for those that have kept up with their Bible reading. And if you have kept up with your Bible reading, if you would remain standing. And Brother Gregory, if you'd be so kind to pass out a small token of appreciation for doing your due diligence and reading the Word of God, you will never go wrong. Bible reading enriches any day. And as he's passing that out, Brother Mason, could you go back in my office and grab my folder, my little brown thing that I preach from? You know what I'm talking about? I want to remind you, after service this morning, immediately following service, there will be a candy rain out on the front lawn. The Sunday school teachers will help us, and we'll send all the kids out, and then they'll kind of separate them, one on this side of the lawn, the other on the other side of the lawn, and then from the heights of the bell tower, candy will begin to rain, and it'll be a good time for the kids, and we'll try to make sure none of them get hurt. We'll lob it, not throw it, and we're just looking forward to having a good time together after service. I wanted to remind you there is no PM activity here tonight at FAC. We encourage you to go spend time with your family. Enjoy this Resurrection Day as we celebrate our risen Savior. Amen? Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. We will have regularly scheduled services coming Wednesday, continuing our Bible study on faith, truth, and reason, talking about the compatibility of science and the Bible, and I'm looking forward to teaching along those lines yet again. Now that you've set for a spell, why don't you rise to your feet and grab your Bibles, if you would. Luke chapter number 24. If you paid attention at all to the video that was played just a few minutes earlier, you will recognize this passage being referenced, and then you will probably also recognize some things that have to say in relation to what was said on the video. Luke chapter number 24. God bless you for being here in the house of the Lord. You could have chosen to go many places, but you have chosen to come here and celebrate Easter with us, and so we thank you for that. It's especially good to have my mother-in-law and father-in-law in service with us this morning. They came to be with the kids on spring break, and they stayed around to be with us on Easter, and so we're happy they're here, and always such a good time with them when they come in town, and It's good to be around family, to have people to fellowship with, and I'm glad that we don't have to argue about where we're going to go to church on Easter. Amen. We're of like precious faith, and that's a good thing. And I always enjoy having them in town. Luke chapter number 24. Thank you, singers, musicians, all those that put in extra time, extra effort, sound man, video man, all of the above. Brother Ryan Wallace at the back, keeping all the controls. And if you ever think that's an easy job, well, you should try it. Putting the words on the screen in the right timing, people trying to shake your hand, and you're trying not to avoid them and be, you know, offensive at the same time. You're trying to get the words up there in the right time and notice what signs are being sold. There's a lot of work going on back there. Thank you, Brother Ryan, for your due diligence in that. Luke chapter 24, begin reading in verse number 1. Upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? I hope the Lord, that's what I want to preach to you upon this morning. A question that was asked by the angels to those who had come, the spices seeking to embalm the body of the man they had seen die. It's one that had led many of them for 3.5 years. Had seen and heard his teaching. They saw his miracles. Some of them saw him breathe his last breath upon the cross. And even though he had told them that he was going to rise again, he came with spices to embalm the body. When they showed up, he wasn't there. Bible says, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And the question that the two men asked them that day is a question I would focus upon this morning. Why seek the living among the dead? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for the awesome opportunity to stand before these precious people and preach your wonderful word. God, I pray you anoint my heart, my mind, to deliver, God, and impart to these people what you've placed in me, God. Oh, that I would be able to feed upon or feed them upon what I have fed upon, God, in your word. And I ask you, Lord, to open my heart, my mouth, to speak with courage and conviction, God, concerning your word and the way in which we live. Lord, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your love and your truth, for all that you are and all that you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Why seek the living among the dead? Easter, the event celebrated in recognition of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So important is this event, the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, 13 and 14. But if there be no resurrection from the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching in vain and your faith is also vain. Goes on to say in verses 16 through 17, For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Thankfully, we can readily respond in the affirmative that we believe that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. But we don't have to take that on faith alone. Certainly, it takes an element of faith. But if we believe in the Bible, Paul, there in 1 Corinthians 15, he references where over 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ occur. People that saw him after his resurrection. The New Testament, which includes the account of the resurrection, has been historically verified by over 5,800 Greek manuscripts, 9,300 manuscripts in other languages, and 10,000, over 10,000 manuscripts in Latin. All historically accurate. All saying the same thing. All recalling the events that we now celebrate today. So we don't really, it's not a real stretch of faith. Even the most skeptic would have to agree that there is enough historical evidence. Recently, I viewed a movie titled The Case for Christ. If you haven't seen it, you need to see it. It's a great movie. It documents the journey of an atheist journalist who seeks to disprove the newfound faith of his wife. For 2 years, this atheist, he's a self-proclaimed atheist, but he's also a journalist. And he goes on this two-year journey to disprove the Christian faith. His wife has come into the faith and it's changing her life, and he wants to disprove, he wants to show her that it's just a figment of her imagination. It's just well-meaning people with good motives, but there's really no substantial evidence that you and I should believe in such. As you watch the film and if you read the book, you will find that the man by the name of Lee Strobel finds enough evidence on his own journey. As he seeks to disprove the case for Christ, he, as he gathers his own evidence, begins to convince himself. And the end of the story is he finds his own faith. There's enough compelling evidence that even a skeptic atheist comes to the conclusion that it had to have happened. And faith is something that should be explored. While it would certainly be a stretch to assert anyone here doubts the resurrection or needs further convincing of its occurrence, I would assert that there is far more for us to learn from this event we call Easter. It's not just about believing that it happened. It's not just about celebrating the event. It's not just about getting together and having a good time and celebrating with family. I don't demean all those things, and I don't seek to in any way to dispel those things that we do. We should do those things. But in celebration of this event, this question that was asked by the angels to those who came to the tomb that resurrection morning, I believe, as the video stated earlier, is a question that should be asked again and again and again. It is a question that bears exploring here this morning. It is something that we all should look into for ourselves. It is something, it is a truth held within those words, which applies to each and every one of us. Especially to everyone searching for answers in places that provide only further questions. To every person hoping to find satisfaction in sin. To everyone thinking their next human relationship will somehow offer them fulfillment. To everyone wishing the next opportunity will somehow pave the road for the pursuit of their happiness. To those seeking to find true life in a lost and dying world, the question bears repeating: why seek the living among the dead? Why seek the living among the dead? You see, one of the most beautiful things about the resurrection is the opportunity it gives for a resurrected life. I'm going to say that again. One of the most beautiful things about the resurrection is the opportunity it affords each and every one of us to have a resurrected life. Resurrection reveals that you and I can have life, and that more abundant. That there is a life to be lived that far exceeds anything we could ever have or find in this world. A life that is available to each and every one of us. A life that is full of life. A life that is full of goodness. A life that is full of wonder and amazement. A life that is available to each and every one of us. Romans chapter 8, verses 11 through 13 say this. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's just not talking about the rapture. That's not talking about you and I being changed. It's talking about living right here and right now. That's why he goes on to say, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. There's a life that's available through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I would say this, for those of us who were not there, for those of us who did not see with our own eyes, for those of us who were not eyewitnesses according to the Word of God, yes, we can rely upon the apostles, and yes, we can rely upon historical evidence. Yes, we can look at the manuscripts, and yes, we can ascertain according to all the circumstantial evidence that exists and dare I say abound concerning the resurrection. For you and me, there's no greater proof of the resurrection than someone who formerly were spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. There is no greater evidence of the resurrection than someone who lived a life of sin, who was caught in the cycle, who now lives an overcoming life, someone who now has found what it really means to live. Paul wrote this to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 2, 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He goes on to say in verse 5 through 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us all to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All over the room this morning are living examples and evidence of the resurrection. Testimonies that could be told if we had time for some of you to tell how Jesus brought you up out of the miry clay. Stories that if we gave you opportunity, you could testify. I was a sinner far from Jesus. I was living in dead stuff, seeking life and things that weren't giving me fulfillment. I was striving and I was trying and I was searching, but to no avail. But then I found Jesus and knew I would search no more. People who at one time were seeking the living among the dead. Maybe they were trying to find hope in the bottom of a bottle, or in the arms of another person, or in the experiences and exposures they thought would lead them to true life. But then they had their own resurrection. Then through the power of the Holy Ghost in their life, then through Jesus working in them, they have their own resurrection story about how God raised them up. And though they are not presently perfect, they are finding out day by day by day what true living really is. See, I know we read it, we preach it. There's many verses that explain it. I make the statement, only life with Christ is truly living. I can say that. I can seek to exemplify that in my own life. I can seek to show that, to testify God's work in my own life. But truly, this is something that can only be experienced. I can tell you all that I want. I can read the Word of God to you. I can show you according to Scriptures that that is true. In Him was life, the Bible said. In Him do we live and do we move and do we have our being. And I can show you a lot of Scriptures that talk about the only way to truly live is to be in Christ. But for you to know that for yourself, it has to be experienced. It can't be by my testimony. It can't be by what I said. It can't even just be by the Word of God. It's got to be mixed with faith, and you've got to experience for yourself. Someone has to come to their own understanding. I and others can testify that it is a truth. But until someone experiences it for themselves, only then can they truly know. Only then can they truly understand that it's not a life lived out of rules and regulations. That it's not a life lived because others say I should. It's not a life lived because I'm afraid of eternal damnation, but a life that is lived in recognition of a resurrection power. A life that is lived. I don't live like that. I don't walk like that. I don't talk like that. Why? Because I'm resurrected. Because I've come to find out true life is living for God. Paul said this. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I live in recognition of Calvary, but I'm so thankful it didn't stop with the cross. I'm so thankful it didn't stop with him breathing his last breath upon the tree, because if it stopped there, then our preaching would be in vain. If it stopped there and there was no resurrection, then the life that you and I live would not be credible evidence to a resurrection. But because when they went to the tomb on that morning, there was no body of Jesus, and the angel said, hey, why seek ye the living among the dead? Jesus gave his life and was resurrected so that he could give life unto you and I. John 10:11, I am come that you might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. How? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He gave his life to give you and I true life. True life. Listen. It doesn't take someone all that intelligent to understand we live in a dying world. 1 John 2:16-18. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then the very next verse says this, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. See, the church, there exists the evidence of the resurrection. This is why being a part of the church is so critical and so essential, because I get to interact with people who are testimonies themselves of the resurrected King. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. He's working in my life. He's raising me up. He's making me to sit together with him in heavenly places. And so all around the church, I get to interact with others who are living out that same testimony, who are showing in their lives that the resurrected King is resurrecting me. He's making me new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the church and in the body of believers, their evidence exists all around us. Stories that could be told, testimonies that could be made of the resurrected King as he's resurrected me. He's made a difference in my life. Do we not understand that the inverse of that exists as well? That in a society we rub shoulders with on a daily basis, there exists all around us evidence that it is a dying world. There's so many things, even from a societal standpoint, that are now barely breathing. Morality. Goodness. It doesn't take much. All you got to do is read just a little bit of the news and you'll realize we live in a dying world. I hate to break it to you, but this world is not getting better. The cup of iniquity is filling up fast. We live in a dying world. So it begs the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life in places that cannot give life? Why are you looking for satisfaction and fulfillment in places that can provide no satisfaction? Why seek ye the living among the dead? This world, we can understand, you don't have to be exceptionally spiritually intuitive to see that the thief is stealing at a rapid pace. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's stealing. He is leaving death and destruction in his wake. The Bible says, and we can read it, it calls him the God of this world. Says. And make no mistake, he is in the business of dealing death. He is not in the business of giving life. He is not in the business of breathing into you and I fulfillment. He is not in the business of breathing into you and I life. What we need to understand that the only way any one of us could ever have true life is in our interaction and involvement with the one who gives life. Because this world is sinking further and further in sin. And the Bible tells us that sin, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Worldliness will not lead you and I into greater living. It's one of the greatest lies of the great deceiver that somehow being more like the world and somehow interacting with the world and somehow I'll be able to find life by interacting with dead things and dead people. Listen, I'm not trying to demean the outside world. What I'm simply trying to say is if they are not being resurrected by the power of the Holy Ghost in their life and they are not striving on a daily basis to show forth in their life evidence of a resurrected king resurrecting them, then you need to be careful who you attach yourself to. You will not find life in dead things. You will not. I don't care how meaningful you think the relationship is. I don't care how much fulfillment you think you find. I don't care how well you feel validated in what you do if it's not attached to what is living. If it's not attached to what is living, that's why the wise man said, hey, that to which is joined unto the living is better. Why? Because a living dog is better than a dead lion. I don't care. Listen, it doesn't matter how loud they shout, and it doesn't matter how appealing they are. It doesn't matter how much this world would want you and I to attach ourselves to it. You need to understand this. The more we do, the more of us dies. Before long, we look around and we don't even realize. And this person that we've become is not the person we used to be. And now we look and we wonder, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You went seeking the living among the dead. I hate to break it to you. I'm not trying to be demeaning unto you, but you need to understand. You got to sever those connections because you stay attached to dead stuff long enough and you start stinking like them and you start taking on their qualities and you start taking on their attributes. And before long, your way of thinking starts changing and you don't even realize. How does it happen, Pastor? I'll tell you. You went seeking for the living among the dead. Why seek ye the living among the dead? So many are looking for life in all the wrong places. For those looking for life in success, can I also say what the angel said? He is not here. I'll say that again. For those looking for true life in success, I'm sorry. He is not here. You're seeking the living among the dead. I'm sorry, he's not here, but he's risen. I'm sorry, it's you need to understand it. I know you can keep searching and you can keep looking for life and fame, but you need to understand he is not here. He's not here in fame. He's not here in fortune. You're seeking the living among the dead. You can keep searching if you want, but your search will be futile. It will end in desperation. It will end in despair. It will end in the understanding that I've been searching for so long. I haven't found it. For those looking for life and human relationship, he is not here. For those searching for satisfaction in substances, he is not here. I want you to understand, for those hoping their worth will be found in the world, you need to understand he is not here. He's not here. You can't find life among dead stuff. You why seek ye the living among the dead? You can't find goodness amidst evil. It doesn't work that way. Why seek ye the living among the dead? It's almost rhetorical. It's almost, the angels looked at them and wondered, why are you perplexed? Did you not remember what he said? Why are you wondering about? Why did you even come and show up with spices? Did you not believe what he said? Was all the miracles and everything else that he said to come, was that not evidence enough for you? So why are you here? Why seek ye the living among the dead? Might I say this morning, is there not enough evidence of life among the church? And is there not enough evidence of death among the world that you and I cannot logically decipher where true life is? That you and I can't see enough evidence in our own lives and in those things that surround us to say, hey, I know where life is. So why keep looking for life somewhere it cannot be found? Why keep hoping happiness will come with holding something in your hand? Having a possession or feeling a certain feeling? Why continue to choose death when life is available? He is not here. He is risen. He is a resurrected Lord. So why seek ye the living among the dead? If you talk to someone who has come to God and they have been resurrected, many of them, and I've heard it from more than one source over my years in ministry and talking to them, when asked many times, what is your single greatest regret in relation to your life? Many of them who spent many years searching for life among dead things will say, I wish I'd have found it sooner. I wish I would have found what true life was a long time ago. I wish before all the mistakes and before all the baggage and before all the broken relationships and before all the cycle of sin just kept having its way in my life. I wish that a long time ago I would have stopped looking for the living among the dead. I wish somebody would have told me when I was younger that there was something that was there and available for me in God. So why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. I hope, my prayer for those that are outside, for those who are still searching in a life of sin, for those who have walked away, for those who are now thinking that they can somehow find satisfaction and fulfillment. This is what I hope. I hope as they interact, and I hope as they continue to live their life thinking that they are going to find it. I hope that at some point in time, as they party or as they have a good time or as they think that things are all well, I hope that at some point in time they come to the understanding, wait, He is not here. I hope that at some point in time they come to an understanding, wait, He is not here. I hope they wake up in the morning and their feet hit the floor and they stand in the mirror and they thought the night before was a great night, but they feel unfulfilled and they feel guilty and there's no satisfaction. I hope they look in the mirror and say, He is not here. They realize that they have been searching for the living among the dead. They have been looking for life where it cannot be found, and hoping for fulfillment and satisfaction in things that can never fulfill nor satisfy. But I hope that they stop their search for the living among the dead. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Say, well, you're a pastor, of course you believe this way. You would tell others the same. I certainly understand that to some degree. You need to understand that all around you are people who, unlike myself, were not raised in this. Who, unlike myself, they have a past, a history. It's rife with searching in the world. Please understand, this is in no way, shape, or form demeaning that. I think sometimes people have more of appreciation. I do. And I say this in the understanding of my own upbringing, but I think that sometimes people who were on the outside, who lived it hard for the world, who sought so long and so hard for life among dead things, I think sometimes they have a greater appreciation for the church than even I. Sure, I had my times as a young man, and I sowed my wild oats, and there's no glory in that. But I too had to come to a decision that there's not life out there. That leaves me unfulfilled. And this service of God, this walking after Him and His way, this is where true life is. And I can preach it. I can tell you there are others here in this place who could testify of the same. But the only way you will truly know is for you to experience it yourself. The only way for you to truly understand is to be born again. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, I participate in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, if you thought you'd be here on Easter without hearing the gospel, you're wrong. You and I participate in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I participate in his death when I repent and I crucify the old man. And I say there's no life in that former life. There is nothing there for me anymore. And I repent. The Bible tells us that when I crucify the old man, that's repentance. That's death. And then burial is when I am baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism. I participate in his death, in his crucifixion by crucifying the flesh, the old man. That's repentance. I participate in his burial by being baptized in his name. That's burial. And then I participate in his resurrection as his spirit fills my life and resurrects me a new man, a new creature, living a new life with a new way of thinking. So to all those who are still struggling, still on your spiritual journey and you're searching, you're wanting to know where life is, I can tell you both where it is and where it is not. Life is in relationship with Jesus Christ. Life is in his spirit resurrecting you, the resurrecting King, resurrecting me. I can also tell you where life is not. Listen. I realize the testimony of a former drug addict is very compelling to those who are bound by drugs. But it doesn't take a former drug addict to understand that drugs kill, steal, and destroy. I don't have to experience all those things to be able to tell you that there exists death. Therein is destruction. I simply ask the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? When you can seek life among the living. And you can come to church and you can interact with people who are living a resurrected life. Though we're not perfect, I would never try to assert that. But what I'm saying is that I'm pressing toward the mark and I'm endeavoring and I'm striving. And he's raising me up and he's changing me more into his image from glory to glory. And he's resurrecting me. So why search for the living among the dead? When you can search for life among the living. He is risen. His altars are open. You have an opportunity right here and right now. Maybe this would be a beginning of a journey for you, or maybe you've been on this journey for a while and you thought about detouring, or you thought maybe I can find fulfillment elsewhere. Listen, you need to know there's only one place, and that is in Jesus Christ. So why seek ye the living among the dead? Right here and right now is an opportunity to start a new life in him. Right here, right now is another chance to make my calling and election sure. Start or continue my search for life among the living. And here I find a little bit more. And there I find a little bit more. And now I'm finding fulfillment in my family. And I'm finding fulfillment in my relationships with God-fearing people. And I'm finding my fulfillment. Why seek ye the living among the dead? There's so much life here for you. That more abundant. There's so much life here for you.
When I call on your name, you answer. When I fall, you are there by my side. You delivered me out of darkness. Now I stand in the hope of new life. By grace I'm free, you rescue.
There's a love.
I found a hope.
There's a life that far exceeds anything you could ever accomplish on your own.
I once was lost.
There's fulfillment in Him you will not find anywhere else.
In you.
There's a spiritual satisfaction that will not wear.
Greater than life.
There's water that will never dry.
I found a hope. Stronger and now.
A well that you can drink from there. You will never thirst again.
I'm alive in you. Come alive in you.
Why don't you lay your hand on someone?
When I call on your
Lord, help us together.
You answer.
Help us not
when
to seek
I
the
call,
living among the dead.
You are there by my side.
My brother, my sister, let me encourage them. Let them encourage me not to seek the living among the dead.
Now I stand in the hope of new life. By grace I'm free. You've rescued me. Now all I am is yours. I found the love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger and nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. You're my God and my firm foundation. It is you who I trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found the love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. It is you who I trust at all times. I give glory and praise, adoration to my Savior who's seated on high. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compared. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. I found a love greater than life itself. I found a hope stronger than nothing compares. I once was lost, now I'm alive in you. Come alive in you.
Thank you, Jesus. The words of that song are so true. I found a love greater than life in itself. What would be so compelling? What relationship would be so important? And so we sent you that my very life would pale in comparison. Paul said, I am at a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. You see, you couldn't frighten Paul with death.
The greatest threat one could ever undertake would be the threat of his own life. But Paul didn't see it as a threat. Paul knew. For he said, if we have hope only in this life, then we are of all men most miserable. And I live this life by the faith of the Son of God, which gave himself for me. And I live this life here and now in expectation of a greater life. It's a great life here, and it's a great life hereafter. So why seek the living among the dead? If you feel comfortable doing so, why don't you lift your hands towards heaven right now? Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. Lord, it's my prayer, it's my heart, desire that those who do not know you, God, the way that you seek to be known, those that are striving, those that are looking, searching for life among dead things, Lord, I pray. It's my heart's desire that they would steer back to you, God, they would find that only in you is true life. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for this awesome life that I live in you. You're so good to me. Can you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful life. Thank you, Jesus, for this wonderful life. Pose the question they often do, well, why don't you do this or why don't you do that? Or why is church so important to you? Do you really believe all that religion stuff? Why don't you get on board with the majority of the world and just live your own life? Though you may not say it audibly, maybe you could think it in your mind. Why would I seek the living among the dead when I've already found true life in him? When you find Jesus, you realize there's nothing else. Oh, we love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. Thank you for this day that we celebrate you, our resurrected King. We also live every day of our lives in celebration of the resurrecting that is taking place in each and every one of us. As you're raising us up, you're sanctifying us through your Spirit. You're leading us and guiding us in paths of righteousness. You're resurrecting us. Why would we ever seek the living among the dead? God bless you for being here this morning. Pray you have a wonderful rest of your Easter day. Just a few moments, the kids are going to come up from class and they're going to make their way outside. Just give us opportunity to get ready and prepared to have a little fun and a candy rain. God bless you for being here this morning. I love and appreciate you. May God with Jesus' name.